to be happy, but you don't know a thing about me. You don't know. Ocean by Emmy Williams, and we'll be hearing from Emmy in a few moments here on the Midweek Drive, where it's actually 23 minutes past 5 o'clock in Lincoln time. In Doncaster, I think it's the same time. All being well, we'll confirm that by going directly now to the ace coordinator and producer extraordinaire of what I'm really, really excited about. So if you can tell how excited we are about this. DigiCon, January the 10th to the 11th, 2015. If it's not enough to actually turn around and say that Shane Rimmer, our ace communicator extraordinaire, and of course the voice of Scott Tracy, will actually there. Sam Stone, who'll be joining us in this studio on Wednesday the 7th of January.
Fantastic.
We'll also be sort of doing this. Sam, ace author and author, artist and a whole range of things. Plus, of course, from Starburst magazine, the fabulous Ed Fortune, heaps of other good stuff. And then, you know, to actually say a full weekend of geeky goodness is just not sufficient. We have to say, Ace Soul Ash, are you indeed there? How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much. How are you?
Very good indeed, and delighted to touch base with your good self. And what did I say? We were triggered off into action this year because previously, yes, we've worked with Louis Savvy at Sci-Fi London extensively. We've worked with Derek Hamley from 10th Planet Productions, and we worked obviously with SFX Magazine. But this year, stimulated by obviously the 72nd World Science Fiction Convention, we thought it's high time we focused very much on all the fabulous events that are taking place, such as DigiCon. And I have to say, what an incredibly stellar, I'll say that again, stellar list of attendees you've provisionally got. Paul McGann, Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters, Peter Davison, aforementioned Shane Rimmer, Norman Lovett from obviously Red Dwarf and more, Richard James from The Delights of Space Precinct, Aisha Bruff, Fraser Hines, original companion for Patrick Troughton's Doctor Who, Jamie, of course, Virginia Hay from Scar, Terry Moore. I mean, I'm almost breathless with anticipation, Ash. What can people expect? I mean, that's before we even start talking about the graphic narrative and the sequential artist folk, etc. And, as we mentioned, Sam Stone and so on. David Howe, also from Telos Publications, is going to be there. I mean, this... Well, yeah, as I say, almost speechless with excitement. It's looking good, it has to be said. Looking good.
Yeah, it's coming together quite well, yeah. Definitely.
Sophie, would you like to question? Because, I mean, I think it's fair to say Sophie is as one of our finest correspondents and, indeed... recent completer of the science fiction module on level 3 English at the University of Lincoln. Yeah, you've demonstrated that you have credentials when it comes to SF. So, where you go.
I am myself a massive geek. I especially love Doctor Who. What would your favourite, without it being controversial, what would your favourite sci-fi category, TV, comic?
Putting that to coordinator of DigiCon. Ooh, okay.
Yeah, do you have a preference?
Honestly, I'm a big fan of films.
Yeah.
Films all the way, in my opinion. I do like my sci-fi films. But like I say, I do watch a lot of sci-fi on telly. Not as much as I used to, but I do like a good sci-fi TV show. I'm a big fan of Thunderbirds, Captain Scarlet, that sort of thing. So, from when I was younger...
And of course, you're really ahead of the game because Jamie Anderson, of course, the current sort of person, the keeper of the flame in many ways for his father, Jerry Anderson's fantastic legacy. Next year, Jamie will be coming up to the University of Lincoln on May the 6th to actually take part in a telefantasy and society symposium. But it is 50 years since Thunderbirds first emerged as a sensational phenomenon in British television. And of course, there's a new series of Thunderbirds next year. Isn't it good that you've therefore got Shane Rimmer, the Scott Tracy, he created the role, actually in DigiCon.
Yeah, it's a great thing. He was the first person we got in touch with for guests, so it was the top of the list. I'm looking forward to it. We have got Jamie coming as well, so that should be good as well.
Hey, there we are. It's almost as though it could be written for us, Sophie, in terms of sort of team slotting. But the interesting thing is, normally these events take place in hotels, you know, Heathrow or in castles, you know, Norbrett Castle or in terms of various other events. Doncaster Racecourse.
Yes. It was the only place big enough. I mean, I'm from Doncaster and I want to do something in Doncaster. I've done events all over the place, Sheffield, stuff like that, but we really want to do one in Doncaster, and there is nowhere big enough for this sort of scale other than the race course, without having to use multiple venues.
Well, I have to say, and I'm pleased that the racecourse has got real. I won't say tarted up, although I just have. A few years ago, Doncaster Racecourse used to be the home of, in January at least, the base of the small livestock, small rabbits. Lots of gerbils, lots of KVs, lots of other things running around, and it was interesting its own way. Lots of sawdust on the floor, but I think they've moved up several notches here. Sorry, Lou Bevan and rabbit fanciers, but you know, and obviously, you know, we've covered both, but I wouldn't like to see Ash, you know, DigiCon kind of combine, you know, furry animals with respect to SF geeks. It could end up in carnage.
I think that it might be a bit too much mess.
Exactly. I mean, and who are you going to call? Ernie Hudson. That's quite a coup, isn't it, from Ghostbusters? Classic stuff on that side of things. Sophie, what are you most looking forward to at DigiCon? I mean, it's because have you attended a convention before?
I haven't, but that's mostly.
Well, you see, this is something, as you can tell, Ash, we're trying to put right straight away. By
yeah, definitely. Yes. Needs to go to lots and lots of conventions.
Exactly. I must confess, I do. I have a phobia of people in dress up in full body suits. So that's probably what has put me off Comic Con and Digi.
Sophie, you and me both. It has to be said. Sometimes, I mean, we love cosplay. But I wouldn't want to get dressed up in the costumes myself. I mean, there's a certain time where I think, no, I don't think
no,
so.
No, it's walking around campus when Swanee, the SU mascot, makes an appearance.
Please.
That's when my heart starts racing. So that's what's put me off before, but no, definitely.
Just out of interest, actually, Swan is effectively, it's a giant swan.
It's a person in a swan suit. And it's terrifying.
It can be very scary, Ash, you know. We like to put it out for the citizens of Lincoln, really.
Well, hopefully the costumes and ours won't be too scary. I mean, I've seen some of the people have sent me pictures of what they're going to be wearing. just the general attendees, and they're amazing costumes. They look so real.
Dedication.
They've done some really good stuff. And then, like I say, we've also got lots and lots of like proper costuming groups coming from all over the country, and they do amazing stuff. Like there's a pretty much screen accurate C-3PO coming. I mean,
oh, fantastic!
They've spent some time on them. Yeah, they're amazing.
And let's not forget Josephine Gillen will be there, actress who's filmed for the HBO series Game of Thrones. She just throws that one in there, you know. So, you know, it's a routine. Made her debut in season 2, episode 1. Character named Mariah, so she's sorted through from that point of view. Josephine, no relation to Karen Gillen, I presume.
No, I don't believe so, no.
But similar red hair, though.
Yes, strangely.
Exactly. A line from that point of view. You've even got Amy Dumas, wrestler.
Yeah.
What, you know, when you got your W, better known by her stage name and former ring name Lita, an American retired professional wrestler and former WWE diva who is actively performing with WWE from 2000 to 2006.
Yes, that's right, yeah. Yes, Hall of Famer now as well as of last year. Well, this year, actually, yeah. This year she's a Hall of Famer now, so just a bit extra added on top.
Absolutely. And, of course, we've also got a whole range of things, including Jessica Bradley, illustrator, children's book illustrator, and artist from Bristol. It's literally something for everyone from that perspective. Is the best way to sign up for tickets, and you probably got to say, tickets have all gone. It's all right. If they haven't all gone, Ash, can we actually go to do digi-con or just digicom.co.uk and book online?
Yeah, digi-con.co.uk is the best place. I mean, we've got tickets on there. Some of them have sold out now, unfortunately. We have just added a very small amount of VIP weekend tickets. There's about 8 left, I believe, when I looked this morning, so they may have all gone now, so I do apologise if they have, but
no apologies. You know, clearly, you know, the discerning SF and fantasy fan realises what a fantastic event it is, what a perfect way to actually start off the year. You know, as I said, we're looking to combine this with a double whammy, the London Boat Show, followed by DigiCon. You know, to me, that's firing on all cylinders from that point of view. So excellent stuff on that point of view. A couple of standard questions. I mean, how did you get involved with fandom and convention organising in the first place? Because I know people come to it from different ways. You mentioned, obviously, a love of film and fantasy and so on. Was it a case you kind of attended various events and thought, we could do this? And, you know, rightly, it's great that it's in Doncaster.
Yeah, well, I own a shop in Doncaster that sells, like, comics, card games, all that sort of stuff.
Go on, give me a shameless plug. I think so, we can go with that.
It's called
shameless
Zone plug. Out. It's www.zone-out.co.uk. I've run it for nearly 6 years now, and over the years, I've gone to many, many different conventions all over the country. From small little like sci-fi weekend events to big conventions, and I was like, we could do something like this in Doncaster.
It's really good.
I've run with a few other companies as well. Like I helped Sheffield City Council with their recent like Family Day, which was out of this world. and stuff like that, and it's just started to grow.
I think, Ash, this could be just the start of South Yorkshire and Lincolnshire working together to benefit all sorts of areas here. Because
it would work really well,
I think so. You know, and it's a whole sort of area from that perspective. Ash, it's been fantastic touching base with your good self today. Again, a reminder, it's www.digi-con.co.uk to find out more about the fantastic events that will be DigiCon in January. So brilliant news there. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut on the show today?
I have, yes. I've enjoyed it thoroughly.
This is good stuff. Because, as I say, you know, obviously it's nice. And we'll hear from Phil Leonis in the second part of the programme, because Phil's a great fan of the San Diego Comic Con, although that's, like, massive in every sense.
That's what we need over in England. We need something that big.
Well, it's...
I'm working on it.
Exactly. And preferably in Yorkshire. That'd be great, you know. Don't forget,
that's what we need.
XL Centre is fine in London, and it's OK. And, you know, we'll be at the XL for the London Boat Show and so on. But, you know, it's OK for Worldcon, but it would be nice to actually sort of have it in Doncaster. Exactly. Look at that. So I take it the next question, can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future? Will you join us on the show and keep us appraised of all the excitements and wonderments that are coming through as far as DigiCon is actually concerned?
Yes, you can definitely hear from me again soon. We've got loads to still unveil, so I'll keep in touch.
A round of applause, please, Sophie, for...
Fantastic.
Because Ash, short for Ashley, but he said, no, call me Ash. So I thought, is it some sort of code for amazing superhero? You know, which I thought was the case there.
Possibly
but no.
A Pokemon reference.
Yes, that's what it should be, yes.
Well, she's on the ball. A Pokemon residence, exactly. Pikachu may not be attending, but then again, who knows, he might in cosplay form.
I don't really know about you, but I would like to. I don't really know about you, but I would like to spend a day in the shade with you. Help me understand why I want to get to know you, you stranger in this dim lit room. I can tell there's room for more, like the eye of the sun. You melt me to, you melt me to my core. Oh, that's why I want to get to know you. Won't you share with me your plans? I'd like to get to know you. I want you to help me understand why I want to get to know you. If you want to know me too, I can help you. I'd like to get to know you.
I think generally outstanding. What say you, Sophie?
Absolutely beautiful.
Tremendous. And you know what? After two Imi Williams pieces, we obviously featured the second one there, following on from the ocean, sandwiched between the joys of the excitement that was the Doncaster DigiCon event, who might be online at present? Who do you think, Sophie?
I do believe it might be Imi Williams.
The legendary Imi Williams on the show. Imi, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thanks.
Excellent stuff. And well, the crucial question, we'll go straight to the whole routine. How was the University of Bath and why you decided to go there as opposed to the University of Lincoln, for goodness sakes?
The Uni of Bath was good. I got a place there.
Oh, very good.
It always helps. So
I got through the audition.
And what would you be reading there?
Music.
Oh.
Fantastic.
But I don't know if I'm definitely going to go there. It's just one of my five choices.
They would be lucky to have you, Imi. That's what we said to your dad.
Well, thank you.
Lucky to have you. And indeed Ian Lennox, who would also endorse that, because we've just been having a look at Imi Williams at the Mining Institute with support from Charlie Dancer. That, of course, has gone now. It's Friday the 5th of December. But again, a classic in all sorts of ways. Indeed, Sophie Grayson is in the process of just liking your page on Facebook. So
yeah.
Moving those sort of
particulars.
Very good. Sophie, questions for Imi.
What initially got you interested in music? Was it something that was influenced from your parents, or were you just a musical child, as it were?
Well, when I was little, so when I was like in year two, about seven, my mum and dad got me music lessons, and I didn't really think anything of it, because I just thought that's what you do when you're at school, you get music lessons.
Yeah.
But I began to really, really enjoy playing the piano. But I'd always been singing from when I was tiny, and it was kind of just my thing that I've just been doing. And it was when I was about 11 I started experimenting and writing my own stuff. Of course, when I look back on it now, it's not great, but it was a start.
Everybody's got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole point is once they're recorded, you can re-release them as classic tracks, classic pieces, and they're fantastic there. I mean, the sense of quality is there. But in an interview that I think you did for the one of the Newcastle Arts Festivals, I'm fairly certain that you actually said, in answer to the question, who were your influences, you said the Beatles. Which I thought was interesting, because it's amazing how, you know, obviously 50 years or thereabouts, one of the biggest British exports to the world, still have that resonance. I mean, clearly, as I say, you were born long after the Beatles from that point of view. Is it just a case of, well, it was being played consistently within the Williams household as a child? Is those kind of thoughts were coming through?
Yeah, I think that is the case, really. I still think that if I hadn't been played them, I would have found them on my own and still loved them as much. But they have been a massive deal in our household, because my parents are massive fans.
Well, it makes...
And they kind of just pass that on to me and my sister.
Well, as indirectly, as we were saying to Sophie, it's thanks to Ian Lennox being chums with you, with your dad, Gareth, that we sort of said, yes, yeah, we'll work our way through. We did. We've been trying for several months to actually get in contact with you. I gather, Sophie, my emails were landing up in the spam folder. What can you say? You know, that's, you know, career online, they were going to the spam folder, otherwise we would have featured Emmy a lot sooner.
Oh, no way.
You know, we thought, well, obviously her star is going so stratospheric, she's moved into all sorts of ways. But let's stay with you, Emmy, for the moment. Would you like to give me a Beatles number, and we'll see if Mr. Computer has got it in the system so you can dedicate this to your parents, having introduced you via John, Paul, George and Ringo to, obviously, the magic of contemporary music.
Oh, wow. Yes, I'd love to.
Well, which Beatles track in particular? We've got a fair range, so there's a fair chance that it'll be in the machine. So it's going to be quite interesting.
We've got two of us.
Going on our way home, two of us going nowhere on our way. I know exactly the thing we've actually got. And let's just see if it is actually there, because it's interesting. It is a classic, and obviously from the later era. You've actually gone for that as opposed to the other scenario. And written, interesting. Yes, we have, but only by Amy Mann and Michael Penn. That's not going to do at all. Could you give me another choice? What can I say? It's Mr. Computer having a sort of scenario.
How about?
I mean, if we went
in my life.
In my life. Well, I think that's again another classic, and let's hopefully, fingers crossed, see that we've actually got that sort of thing coming through. Yes, good choice. You know, there are places I remember in my life. I love you more, Sophie. Are you ready for this little number? In
Definitely.
My life? Good. Here it comes.
There are places I remember all my life, though some have changed, some forever, not for better, some have gone. Oh, I know affection
Amy, you should really consider doing a cover version of that. I think you'd do an even better, even better job. Excellent stuff. You know, all just the two of us. Great stuff there. Penny Evans, yes, it's only a matter of moments now before we actually feature your Christmas number. Penny is one of our fantastic Buxton correspondents, and she's tuning in to the station, which you can do via sirenonline.co.uk. Did you manage to listen to any of the show before you joined us today, Amy?
Yes, I did. I caught a bit.
Very good. That's what you call always set, because that way she can be caught completely on the hop by saying, where are we going with respect to this whole thing? I'm thinking, actually, I was going to actually look at a feature which we did earlier with Bruce Dessau from the UK comedy channel Gold, which actually talks about the top 10 funniest festive jokes for 2014. Yeah, I mean, obviously, Sophie, you're ready for your particular party thing. You guys give me a number between 1 and 10?
We'll go for number 4.
Go for number 4. What did the snowman say to the aggressive carrot? Get out of my face.
That is truly terrible.
You can feel free to use this, Amy, if you wish to sort of, if you've
got
Christmas gigs, etc. It's worthwhile through from that point of view. And again, from the political party, why won't Santa visit Nigel Farage? Because he only comes if you sleep, not if you kip. Heavy political routine. I'll hold the last one. Although actually, the top funniest festive joke for 2014, it is actually a musical themed one. Okay, and actually, let's see if we can actually do the sort of routine in terms of I don't know what so. So I will read you the line. You will say I don't know what will be etc. So anyway, so Emmy, what will be missing from Take That's Christmas stocking this year?
I don't know what will be missing from Take Up stocking this year.
An orange.
That's actually quite funny.
Officially quite written funny. By Lynn Newton. She actually secured £1,500 for that.
That's very topical.
Wow. Yeah.
Is it clearly music? It's all gone. You should be writing jokes as well, Amy. Never mind. Yeah. We'll work our way through that. Yes, 1,500 jokes part of and a box of gold crackers and the visual line. What will be missing from Take That's Christmas stocking this year? An orange. Emmy, would you like to cast your critical ear over Christmas Night from Penny Evans? Because I think it's only fair we've had a couple of Emmy Williams tracks. Your classic musical soul. This is a wonderful sort of little scenario. It's festively tuned, put together. I was going to hold it back until we connect with our Belgium correspondent, Fien Heel. We might run it again from that point of view. But are you ready to have a little listen to Penny Evans and Christmas Night?
Yes, of course.
Here it comes then. Denton and Ulrich Kilström with, of course, Penny Evans on lead vocals there, Christmas Night. So, Emmy, what did you make of that little number?
Well, I've been getting very excited for Christmas recently. I think that tipped me over the edge. That's really exciting. I loved it. It was very Kate Bush-esque, I thought.
That's exactly what I've said.
I thought so. No, I really loved it. Can you download it?
I think you can actually. I'll send you the details for that. But Penny Douglas will be in there because she's just announced 8,749 listeners in 101 countries have so far heard the tune. It was aired on the Gail Carson Christmas Show on radio in the United States, and now of course it's been aired on the midweek drive. That should hopefully double, which is always important. So great stuff there. And she's also singing it tonight at the Club Acoustic Christmas Party. That sounds very racy, doesn't it? The Club Acoustic Christmas Party. Very good. Ulrich Kilström has also sort of tagged in to actually sort of like the whole process, which is very good. Ulrika's actually sort of sent a little heart.
Very sweet.
Honestly, I mean, this whole thing is social media. I mean, you're clearly across the whole base, and as a superlatively talented young musician yourself, how do you cope with that with your academic studies and music as well? It's extraordinary.
Again,
do you find that using the kind of usual traditional social media is an essential way to actually getting the brand that is Immy Williams out and about there?
Yeah, I think it's really important. I find it quite difficult because if I was in a band, I'd have kind of, 4 or 5 people to all do it and all kind of promote themselves. But I have to do it myself, so I feel kind of... It's hard to strike the balance between being like, look at me, I'm great.
But you are. You are Immy. I mean, the fact of the matter is, it is the Immy Williams.
Well, thank you. But I find it quite difficult. But it's a very, very good platform. And Facebook.
And plus, of course,
people
No, I was just going to say, at least you don't have 4 other egos to deal with there. You know, it's just yourself. So you make a decision, say, that's it,
that's wrong with it.
That
is true. That is true.
Always a positive sign. Listen, we played this at the start of the show. I've got to give a little reprise to this because I just love the ocean in so many ways. I'm just interested, did you write it with reference to the North Sea or was it a metaphorical ocean?
Both.
Ah.
Yes, because, I've got a little beach hut on the North Coast where I spend a lot of summer with my family. So I think kind of that subliminally entered the song.
Very good.
But I think it's a metaphor, really.
it's classic stuff. Immy, we're going to go out with the ocean before that takes us around to the Los Angeles Master Chorale, and indeed the fabulous Chief Executive Officer and President of the Los Angeles Master Chorale, Terry Knowles, will be joining us with the sort of things they've been doing over the festive period. A little final plug, Sophie, for the carol service that's going on in Lincoln this evening, because it's always important. I mean, if Penny Evans tipped Immy over the edge in terms of Christmas festivity, this could completely seal the deal. But anyway,
definitely. Well, we have Bassingham Choir presenting Shepherds and Kings, which is a seasonal offering of carols and verse to take you into Christmas. Hey. And it should be kicking off in about an hour and a half at All Saints Church, Monk's Road, Lincoln.
So, Immy, if you could get into the helicopter, I know your father has on standby, the helipad of Williams Towers. Yeah, get the quick heli down there. You could probably land on the roof of the university. We'd okay it from that point of view, or possibly also in the sort of general routine, and go for that. Actually, we need to campaign to get Immy Williams to Lincoln, I feel. So
definitely.
Should definitely be on there.
I would love that. I would love it.
Start the campaign going. Immy, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut on the show today?
Great, thank you.
So can we look forward to keeping the world and more, of course, appraised of your exciting musical career as it develops, even when you actually go possibly to the West Country and Bath?
Of course,
it's all there. Go on, introduce the ocean by your good self. Over to you.
Okay, well, this is a track that it's called The Ocean.
Superb, simple, effective, just wonderful. Immy Williams, yay! Round of applause, please.
Thank you. Bye.
The ocean where I can't breathe. I'm needing home, 'cause like a hero, she rescued. So speaking a language that I understand, I don't need your hand, I just want to be happy. But you don't know a thing about me. You don't know.
Well worth a second play, I feel, on the production. What do you say, Sophie?
Oh, definitely.
Immy Williams, young singer-songwriter. Stunning. I mean, just turned 18. Amazing.
It's incredible.
Absolutely incredible. It's almost as incredible as the true legend and president and chief executive officer of the Los Angeles Master Chorale, literally across the ocean in Los Angeles, the fantastic, amazingly talented Terry Knowles. How are you, Terry?
Well, good morning, and thank you for that. I'm very well.
Brilliant stuff. Now, in terms of news which has shocked the Lincoln citizens and indeed the Europeans to the core, after a fantastic tenure in charge of the organisation, you've led the organisation and the Los Angeles Master Choral through the most phenomenal growth period in the 50-year history of the choral, you have announced that you're going to step down at the conclusion of the 2014-15 season. No, Terry, please, no!
I'm flattered all over the place, but yes, it's true. I think 15 years is probably enough for the same voice to be sitting in my office, and I'm going to move along and do something different. But the most important thing is that Grant Gershon is with us through the 1920 season, and it is really, at the end of the day, all about the quality of art making, and that will only improve from almost perfection, in my view, through his continued leadership. So no reason to fear, citizens of Lincoln.
Well, that's very important. That's Lincoln, England, as well as Lincoln, Nebraska. Because obviously there's a global way. You can access us through all sorts of ways, really. We'd hate to have any Nebraska citizens about to check over to Los Angeles saying, why? Prejudice and so on. Looking at some of those highlights, I mean, clearly you've helped to facilitate the choir's transition to Walt Disney Concert Hall. You've increased the chorale's operating budget by more than 80% to $5.4 million. Generally, it's just been a success after success. But as you say, actually, on one hand, you've got tremendous quality to actually work with. So it's always good news.
It is. I have amazing colleagues, both on the staff and on the board, and they are all equally, in their own way, bringing their own gifts, so committed to this institution. And now we begin a planned period of growth over time that will be sustainable, and it just will be more music in the world from the LA Master Chorale, and I just don't think there's really anything better than that.
Yeah, absolutely right. Now, we've decided to take a little clip, a little snippet of something which features on the Los Angeles Master Chorale website. Just sort of set up something which has now passed us by, but again, obviously Christmas hasn't passed us by as yet, but I just thought this was wonderful. If you're kind enough to stick with us as we actually just have a little listen to some of the Los Angeles coverage from the media outlet over a special event.
For us at 11.
We leave you with a holiday classic performed by Los Angeles Master Chorale, and our videographer, Sean Callis, was there to capture the magic.
Tonight is the 33rd annual Messiah Sing-Along presented by the Los Angeles Master Chorale at Walt Disney Concert Hall.
It's a good chance just to sing along. Everybody's just happy, and it's just a fun experience.
It's just the most remarkable opportunity to get 2,000 people into the hall to be the chorus for the Messiah.
It's so great to sing with an orchestra and a chorus and listen to the soloists. It's just a fun seasonal thing to do.
The expression of music brings out a sense of emotion, whereas listening to it, you don't necessarily experience that same type of expression.
Yes!
Yes, a genuine alleluia there in every sense of the word. And Terry, we have to ask you, was it your good self who was featured on that little news clip?
You heard a little bit of my voice. That was from last year's Sing-Along Messiah. This year's happened on Sunday, December 7, when over 2,000 people fill Walt Disney Concert Hall. We put Grant Gershon and orchestra and soloists on the stage, and we sing Messiah through and through, and the Hallelujah chorus, maybe 3 or 4 times just for the fun of it.
Yes.
It is unlike any experience I have ever had. The room just rocks and rolls. It's wonderful.
One of these days we'll have to get together with the Siren Voices, because we have our own little choir service that's taking place tomorrow, actually, in Lincoln, which is well, I think we'll use that as inspiration. But Sophie, you've had a look at the video, had a look at the clip. Thoughts?
It's incredible. The just the sound that so many people can make, the harmonies are fantastic. And to be, especially in the Walt Disney Concert Hall, it's such a fantastic venue. It looks incredible from the video that you've got on your website.
And indeed, splendid stuff in every sense of the word. And again, it's that sort of uniformity. I can sense, actually, Terry, that it's probably the reason Handel actually wrote the thing in the first place, just so it could be sung by the Los Angeles Master Chorale.
That's a lovely thought. You know, Grant Gershon also says that of all the things he does throughout the season, nothing really compares with standing on the podium in the middle of all these people singing their hearts out with an orchestra and all. He's just so exhilarated by it. Please come over next year on December 6th and sing with us.
You know, and that's the sort of invitation that I would definitely say yes if you're going to be there, Terry. That's the only reason. That's the only sort of rider and rejoinder. I mean, even though you might have stepped down, we'd have to actually be there. Otherwise, you know, much as we appreciate Grant Gershon, he's a fabulous individual. And without Terry Knowles, you know, you have to sort of think, whoa.
Alex, if you come and sing with us, I'll stand right next to you and sing.
Well, I think we'll need to
that's
sort of...
That's an offer you can't refuse.
Quite clearly, in every sense of the word. Lots of exciting things, obviously, moving ahead in terms of the new year. But we still haven't sort of quite finished because, obviously, we've got the... in fact, it's this very evening, Handel's Messiah, I think, that's taking place at the thing. And on Sunday, December 21st, if you have access to the jet, or if you find yourself in Los Angeles, I mean, we were covering the fabulous Los Angeles Zoo and the lights that were actually switched on and because it was the return. Have you managed to see them as yet, Terry, the zoo
lights? I have not, but I have friends who have, and they say it's just glorious. There's also, let me say, a Messiah tonight.
Yep.
I don't think you all can get here by then.
Bit tight. I mean, yeah, theoretically, let's say it's now coming up to 10:05, I think, in LA time, in the morning time, or 5 minutes. That's 6:05 p.m. So if we actually wrapped up the show, Sophie, you've got a Christmas meal to actually sort out as well. So you'd have to obviously get the people and get onto the jet, fly over there. We could probably just about make it after the sort of show.
It would
be a bit tight, you know. We might be a bit flustered, Terry. That's the only thing we could really think about. We'll delegate Phil Leonis to sort of check the thing out from that. But you're absolutely right. Wednesday, December the 17th, 7:30, and quite rightly, simply one of the greatest choral works of all time, Handel's Messiah, as sung by the LA Master Chorale, returns for two performances. The other one, which is slightly more accessible possibly, is Sunday, December the 21st at 7 p.m.
Exactly,
Terry,
right.
You're going to be asked this question an awful lot over the next few months, but we're going to throw it to you in any case. What have your personal highlights been of your tenure as President and Chief Executive Officer of the Los Angeles Master Chorale?
Oh, my, that is a really interesting question and a hard one to answer. There have been so many moments, most of them from the stage, some of them not. The opportunity along the way, all these years, to work with Grant has just been a remarkable transformative experience for me, and some of the musical moments, all of them in a way, but some of them along the way are our work with the LA Philharmonic last season on John Adams' The Gospel According to the Other Mary, which was performed here and then toured Europe and New York, was just something that marked my life forever. I can't say enough about the quality of music making that has gone on, the leadership of our board members, my colleagues. Really, it just all jumbles together in my heart and mind. It's been a remarkable almost 15 years.
I think there's a movie that's in the offering, actually.
Definitely.
It makes perfect sense.
As long as Meryl Streep plays me, I'm good.
Oh, you know, Meryl Streep was the person I had in mind, as indeed your good self, Terry. I thought that would be a definite one. Either Meryl, or possibly from left field, maybe Jessica Lange.
Oh, that would be good. Well, that would be fun.
Just sort of bowl from that point of view. If you'd be kind enough to stay with us, Terry, I'd like to actually feature one of my own personal favourites from the Los Angeles Master Chorale. You could say it's not necessarily that seasonable. I think it is, actually. It's the Los Angeles Master Chorale singing Hold On. Are we okay with this, Terry?
Absolutely, I love it.
Keep your hand on up now, hold on, hold on, hold on.
supposed to be one of my own personal Los Angeles Master Chorale favourites. But Sophie, your thoughts and comments?
It was beautiful. It's just such a rich, gorgeous sound. It's fantastic.
Okay, as expected, thumbs up.
Definitely.
And Terry, we've also heard from Penny Evans, who suggested we need a TARDIS to actually get us from Britain to the United States so we can all join in the singing of the Messiah. So we'll just have to have a work on that sort of TARDIS side of things. And Penny's from Buxton, so we clearly that's the other thing. We'd have to stop off on Buxton en route.
Yeah.
It's very confusing. And that's in Derbyshire, which is, clearly you'd have to get out and do all sorts of things. We spoke about this a wee while ago, Terry, but any chance of the Los Angeles Master Chorale crossing the ocean and coming back to Europe in the near future?
Well, we hope so. As we look forward and plan big artistic projects for the next 5 years of Grant's leadership, we are very hopeful that a return to London is there, because we had the most wonderful time there. We have good colleagues there, and I'm very hopeful. News to follow, but that's certainly on the horizon, I hope.
Excellent. Now, again, the other question, which I'm sure you'll be asked quite frequently, is, so after being one of the world's most successful publicists and coordinators in so many other sort of magical ways, what does the future have in store for yourself? Was it a case of, no, I'm just going to take a little bit of time to relax and unwind for a wee while?
Well, I think we will do that for a little while, but I'm hopeful to consult. I was consulting before I joined the Master Chorale. I am eager to try to help other nonprofit organizations, really of any particular mission, with governance and planning and resource development, to make sure that good nonprofits providing both art and other services in and around Los Angeles thrive and are able to fulfill their missions. And I would very much look forward to that.
And you were kind enough to obviously praise the delights of Grant Gershon. I'll just reciprocate by saying, obviously, quoting Grant, Terry Knowles is one of the wisest people that I know. And under her inspired leadership, the LA Master Chorale has experienced tremendous and sustained growth in every area. Yeah, that's a virtuous circle. It's very good. Positive stuff.
That's a lovely thing to say, but I will also say that I and anybody in my position would be as only successful as the quality of the art that is made from this stage, So that's where it starts.
It all works. Very briefly, moving on, Sophie, you've got an interesting tale to tell about your own connections with the States and how last year you were sort of in the States doing all sorts of exciting things which also connect with your family as well.
Yeah, well, earlier this year I was very lucky to actually come out to San Francisco. And I've got
shouldn't talk about San Francisco when it's Los Angeles. Oh, it could be a disaster.
I did go to LA.
Very important.
I did take a trip down to
California. It's all okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I did take a trip down to Southern California whilst I was out there. But I have a long lost family who are now based in San Francisco, who my grandparents adopted when my parents were little, and then tragically lost contact with. And after about 35 years of not being in contact, in 2008 we managed to find them online and had traced them all the way from Dover here in the UK through Nigeria all the way out to San Francisco. So
I can sense another movie brewing with respect to the Los Angeles Master Chorale providing the sort of soundtrack.
Oh, the soundtrack. That would be incredible. Very, very epic tale, I feel.
I like the way you're thinking about this, Alex.
Well, that's we have director Phil Leonis, who could be on the case, who'll be joining us shortly from Los Angeles. So it's so brilliant stuff. Terry, it's been sensational as ever, touching base with your good self. And I do sincerely trust that just because you're stepping aside from the Los Angeles Master Chorale, you'll still be part of the Midweek Drive team, because that's very critical, really. We need more Terry Knowles on the production. Otherwise,
you're very kind. I am at your service whenever you would like to talk. I would look forward to that.
Well,
that's what we like to hear.
Precisely. So I take it I think that deserves an alleluia from the Los Angeles Master Chorale. Final sort of plug for the events. The website, of course, Terry, is?
lamc.org.
There we are, lamc.org. Simples, as they say. Terry Knowles, a genuine pleasure. Take care. Season's greetings and happy holidays.
Very happy holidays to you both, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
back into the programme. We just don't know where to start. We'll go to Belgium before we actually say farewell for the moment to Sophie Grayson. Fiend Heel, ace Belgian person, are you indeed there?
I am, yes.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
Very good indeed, Fiend. Delighted to have you back on the team after, of course, your exploits where Fiend actually cycled on a pedal bike from Miami, Florida, through to Canada.
Oh, fantastic. Well done.
But Sophie, I know you have to head off because you've got dinner matters and things to sort through.
Indeed.
But Fiend, if you'd like to actually assist me now from Belgium to present to Sophie as one of our newbie midweek drivettes, what she could have actually had last week, but we didn't sort of connect together from that point of view on the Thursday, but it is her official Belgium crock thing. So there are, Fiend, if you'd like to share that whole package there.
Thank
it's
you
now
very
being
much.
Presented to you to sort of work our way through that. And Fiend, I'm sure you'd actually say you'd share us in Belgium chocolate being quality chocolate, would you not?
Yeah, for sure.
Even though, obviously, you're keeping it to yourself because of the pending chocolate shortage, which could be there. It's okay. It's all right. It's sort of a way through that. Have you managed to catch any of the show so far, Fiend?
Yeah, I did. I only wish I could sing because there's been such a sing-along episode.
Fiend, of course you can sing. we won't be asking you to over the telephone because obviously it wouldn't go down that well. Leave that to whole thing. But it's the last Wednesday midweek drive ever for 2014. And I feel it was important to actually have a nice festive tune to actually sort of work our way through that.
Yeah,
good material. Fiend, would you like to ask Sophie Grayson those last two questions as she sort of heads off in her unique English and drama level 3 undergraduate way to actually look after the sprouts and, of course, make sure that she doesn't go down with food poisoning and can make tomorrow's midweek drive morning edition? Fiend, over to you.
Yeah, sure. Sophie, did you have a interestingly top of link today?
It's been fantastic, yeah.
So you're serious of the link? Yeah, very good. she's devastating. It's the old satellite link just breaking us down there. I was going to say she was going to be devastated that she can't speak more to you, Fiend, but I'm sure that'll recur. Anyway, Fiend, the next question is?
Yeah, will we hear from you again in 2015?
You'll hear from me again in the morning.
Tomorrow morning, exactly.
Bright and early.
Oh, tomorrow morning.
Exactly. Oh. Belgium time, of course, it'll be 9 a.m. through to 11 a.m. You know, here it's 8 a.m. through to 11.
Okay.
Yeah, so there we are. Sophie, take care. Enjoy
Thank
the
you very
rest
much
of
for having me.
It's okay.
I'll see you in the morning. You.
Absolutely. Brilliant stuff. And Fiend, onward. Of course, you could always use the half hour of the show once you get back to the flat as a kind of background music, really. You can listen to Phil Leonis and sort of find out what he's got to say about the whole thing. Still, Fiend, are you all set for your particular experience of Christmas in Belgium? Well, what sort of things in Belgium actually happen which makes it different from Christmas in the United States?
You mean Christmas?
Or England.
Christmas?
Exactly.
when I was in England last year for Christmas, I know it's been like 2 years ago, I think now.
Yeah.
It's so different. There's the atmosphere. You guys do so much more with Christmas. In Belgium, it's just... There's some like street lights, people that dress up their garden, their front yards, but it's not the same as in Britain, Great Britain.
I mean, do you think we've become more American from that point of view? Is that sort of a... incidentally, Penny Evans has just emailed in again to say, how can there be a chocolate shortage? Anything else but not chocolate? Nightmare. And she says hi to you, Fiend. So there we are. That's Penny Evans. So yeah, clearly, maybe I shouldn't have mentioned it, but it hit the news, I think, a few weeks ago that, yes, there is a chocolate. And indeed, Fiend, I do believe that you did actually say that, speaking on behalf of Belgium...
I did.
Yeah,
I didn't mean to start a panic, though, but I think we'll be fine for another couple of years.
2 years. So it's not
great. And by then, we're probably making artificial chocolate, so don't worry.
But Penny's again, and I love Belgium chocolate the most, she says. So, clearly the Belgian thing is it's not just that. I mean, I like to think, Vincent Kompany, the famous Belgian footballer, who, of course, is captain of Manchester City, is doing fine stuff. But, it's a different line in terms of, you can't sort of say, dear Vincent, can you actually send me some chocolate? But still. Back to comparisons. You're saying that you don't actually decorate your houses in Belgium or externally, like we sometimes see in Lincoln, such as people go crazy with electricity bills and so on.
I would love to do that. because it's still a special time of a year. And
well, why don't you set a trend feed? You could set that. You could become a Belgian pioneer importing a whole system, and that could be the next. I'm actually speaking to you with a microphone shield, which actually has a Santa Claus beard attached to it via an elastic band. You know, if ever there was a reason for not switching on the webcam, it has to be that. You know, we've got tinsel around the microphones. It's all Ben Pickard's doing, but still, if it keeps him happy, that's all I can say. Happy Christmas, Ben. In terms of celebrating the whole thing, do you feel that message of Christmas, that whole sort of system that we have in Belgium, is that something which is as equally commercialised in Belgium as it is in Britain and so on?
No, not at all. I wish it would, because I really like it. I really like the, especially when it's snowing. But of course, with global warming, there's no snow. But I mean, we don't even have a Christmas tree. I don't know why. We should get one.
You don't even. Because
I forget Christmas is coming up.
Well, yeah, I mean, is it something to do with Christmas trees and, Germany and so on? I mean, is it an anti-German thing in Belgium? I find it difficult to believe that you don't have Christmas trees there. That's astounding.
I mean, people have Christmas trees, for sure, but it's not like in Britain or in America. There's just some people do. I mean, just not everybody. It's not this big craze about Christmas. But I miss it.
Well, some people might turn around and say that's just as well. Listen, Fiend, I've got a Christmas number coming up just for yourself, actually. In fact, we just had a wonderful sort of visit by Brian Rudd, who's just popped into the studio with a little Christmas card. It's wonderful. It's marvellous. Thank you, Brian. This is Perry Como, a crooner and singer from times past, with Christmas Dream. You'll be asked for your full critical announcement after this in terms of how you found Perry Como and Christmas Dream.
Watch me now, here I go. All I need's a little snow. Starts me off, sets the theme, helps me dream my Christmas dream. Every year I dream it, hoping things will change, and into the crying, the shine.